You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clark, now, of course, we make reference to this time of the year as the festive season. Some people call it the silly season. But the one thing that we most certainly do is spend silly amounts of money. And to help us talk about that is, of course, Kirsty Scully, certified financial planner from Core Wealth Advisory Service and based in Cape Town. Kirsty, good afternoon to you and thank you for joining us.
Yes, hi, Gashwell. Good to chat to you today.
No, wonderful, Kirsty. Interesting one, because as I said, this is silly season and there's all kinds of things that goes along with this time of the year. A little more spend on entertainment, a lot more spend on food, a lot more spend on gifts and goodness knows whatever else. But what are some of the habits that one can say causes one to sort of waste money at this time of the year?
Yes, you know, it really is. It is, as you say, a very, very much a silly season. And we just all seem to get into this whole rut of parties and going out for drinks and going to restaurants and where we just spend far too much money. And I mean, it's the same as, you know, all the Christmas presents. It's kind of like a habit, almost sometimes to an extent, a bit of a habit. And I think that there are ways that you can reduce it, reduce the expenditure. And, you know, whether we're looking at it from a gift perspective or whether we're looking from a perspective of the food, you know, like, for example, on Christmas Day or at these various events, I think there definitely are things that we can be doing to ensure that we don't fall into that trap of a habit of every single year we just kind of overspending. And, of course, one of the things that it also makes it particularly difficult is the fact that isn't January always just the longest month of the year?
That's what I said at the beginning of the show, because, you know, part of the problem is you get paid, you know, your December salary usually comes through way before Christmas Day itself. You know, some people get paid on the 16th, the 15th, around about then, some, on the 20th. And I guess that's all in an effort to facilitate Christmas spending. But the problem is that you have the rest of the month. You know, to cope with trying to buy food, trying to buy groceries, and of course the kids are going back to school.
Yeah, absolutely, and back to school is always a big cost involved as well, which parents need to budget for so that they can actually get that all done. But I think one of the most important thing to do is we need to remember that the festive season happens every year. Every year we talk about the silly season.
Mm.
And so therefore, it gives us that opportunity to rather plan for the year, okay? And the point is that what we do is, when I talk about planning, yes, I do mean that dreaded word budget. And I know nobody likes that word budget. But the point is, by having a budget, you're actually able to make sense of your finances. And it certainly does help to ensure that you do not overspend, especially now at Christmas time. But look, at the same time, don't get me wrong. I mean, Christmas time is a time for giving, and we want to be able to give, but we just don't want to experience the pain that is associated with too much spending. So I think going back to the planning side, what we've got to do is we've got to ensure that we draw up a list of where we want to spend our money, where we need to. Perhaps, for example, draw up a list of who you would normally be giving Christmas presents to. Have that list, and then you say, well, I've got X amount of money to spend, divided by that number, and then you'll have a very good idea of how much you can spend per person. And then try not to go over that amount. And you know what I'm going to suggest? If that amount is something fairly low, you know, maybe, for example, under 50 Rand per person, maybe you should consider doing something like actually making gifts. I can give an example. A couple of years back, I decided I wanted to make some gifts for people, and I happened to notice that my neighbor had a lemon tree with a whole lot of lemons dropping on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And I asked if I could just go and pick them up, and she said, no problem. And I picked them up, and I made some lemon marmalade. And you know what? It saved a hang of a lot of money. And what I thought was really great was the fact that everybody thought these presents were awesome. Why? Because I'd actually gone to the trouble of making them myself. And you know what? Let's face it, for most of us, our time is actually our most valuable commodity. So people do appreciate things like personal gifts. So definitely something that you can consider. Another way to try and save a bit of money at Christmas time when it comes to the gifts is to perhaps, I'm talking here just for the adults, okay?
Yeah.
What you would do is you put all the names in a hat and draw out a name, and everybody gets to buy for one adult. And that means you can perhaps spend a little bit more than you would have otherwise spent, and that person rather gets one special gift as opposed to, you know, a whole lot of little, very small gifts. I think that the spirit of giving is still there, because you're getting them, you're giving gifts. I would leave the children as still getting their gifts if you can afford to do that, but I think that's quite a nice way. I know what other people do. Other people also put away money each month. Every month throughout the whole year, put away whatever the amount is that they decide on, so that at the end of the year, they've got the money to buy a nice gift. Or alternatively, in fact, be really on the ball and actually buy a present every single month that you've got it towards the end of the year. But, yeah, I think where a lot of us fall down is the fact that we actually leave our Christmas shopping to the very end, and those retailers know that we're doing this, so they ended up pushing up those prices on things that are typical Christmas gifts. So don't leave it to the end of the year.
No, good point. And I mean, I was actually going to ask you about, you know, maybe putting something aside then, you know, as the year continues. And what I've noticed as well, for example, you know, the Secret Santa a practice in many offices, you'll find that the amount is actually capped. They'll tell you that the gift shouldn't be worth more than, say, 100 Rand or 150 Rands. And then it's randomized. So you literally pull someone's name out of a hat, and you buy them a particular gift, and sometimes those people have a wish list of some sort, which makes it easier. And I don't see what the problem would be sort of transplanting that practice, say, in your home or with your family as well, especially amongst the adults, as you had pointed out. But there's an interesting point that you raised there, Kirsty, because obviously, you know, around about November, with the adoption and the, you know, with the slow, not the slow, but the quite relatively quick uptake in things like Black Friday, so on. And I don't know, maybe I'm just a sucker, especially having kids, because I'll sort of keep a general eye on, say, the prices of toys. And then when Black Friday swings by, that's when all of us rush into the toy stores to go try to grab, you know, those sought after desired toys that the kids want at a discounted price. Does that actually work, or is it a gimmick? Is it a gimmick to get us to walk through those doors?
I do think it can work, but you need to know your prices. Because the retailers are very good about pushing up their prices. I actually once did a whole radio show on Black Friday issues. And honestly, the retailers do push up their prices substantially for some things. So you've got to know, is this genuinely a good price? So be aware of it. And then what I like to do is I like to shop, to literally shop from the armchair in my lounge as such, so that I don't get bamboozled when I actually get into the shop. Because then you think, oh, but this is nice and that's nice and there's so many things. And I'm going to question whether you are actually saving in the long run if you do that. So again, it comes down to that whole thing about planning. Check on the cost, understand your cost, and then maybe it might be worthwhile, for Black Friday.
Because there's also another side to that coin, in that you can find yourself thinking that you're getting discounts or that you're picking up discounts, but then you're picking up so much more, you're buying so much more that it, in essence, eliminates any discount to speak of.
Correct. Because unless you are extremely disciplined and only buy what is on the shopping list, which I don't think many of us do that.
Yeah, and it's been a couple of years, eh? It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, we tend to get there and think, oh, my word, but I like this and I like that. So you end up buying a little bit more than planned. So I think, again, you one has to just be particularly careful at this time of the year when you're feeling a little bit jolly, as well as at the time of Black Friday, you know, that overstep the mark. Keep to that plan, keep to the budget, and that is where how you'll make a success of your finances by doing that.
But the interesting thing is, and before we even get to the big Christmas lunch or, you know, the big Christmas meal, the one thing that stands out for me about sort of this time of the year, about December, and especially with this weird weather that we're going through, you know, the kids are at home. They're getting bored. There's only so many cartoons they can watch. There's only so many times you can tell them to go draw. There's only so many times that, and as of late, you know, playing outside is not much of an option or regular option, considering that you're stuck, you know, indoors because it's raining cats and dogs outside. But nonetheless, you know, this is usually the time of year where the kids are bored. You're sort of also getting bored because you have extra time on your hands because you're either on holiday or you're taking leave, whatever the case is. And this is generally when you are more tempted to spend money on things that you wouldn't spend money on ordinarily. This is where you're taking them to the movies. This is where you're taking them to all kinds of interesting, I don't know, recreational spaces scattered across the city. And those things cost money. And that's how, I guess, we end up with January in January, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I think one has to realize that this time of year, school holidays, typical around the festive season, people do spend money and extra money. And I think, look, yeah, that's probably why traditionally people got bonuses at the end of the year so that that could help. But the point is...
Ooh, we lost Kirsty. What happened there? Okay, we're going to try to get Kirsty back so we can continue that conversation, because I think these are a lot of things that we do not necessarily, we take it for granted. We don't necessarily apply our minds. You don't necessarily think about it. And I can, you know, if I have to think about it, in as much as I said, I don't necessarily have a shopping list. There's always a budget that we draw up at the beginning of every single month, right? And December is, you know, no exception to that particular rule. But the interesting thing for me about it is inevitably you find yourself in this very weird space whereby you out and about, you know, it's holidays and it's a bit of money here, it's a bit of money there. And lo and behold, before you know it, you're way off budget. That's because, you know, you've been spending money intermittently. Kirsty, we have you back.
Absolutely. So what I was saying, it's this time of year that you need to have that extra little kitty, you know, a bit of money extra, because you know you're going to take the kids out. I mean, I certainly know in Cape Town how absolutely ridiculously expensive it is to take them on outings, you know, whether it's up the mountain or wherever it is. It always involves the cost. I mean, going to the movies nowadays is an expensive outing.
I was shocked. We went to the movies for the first time literally in nearly 2 years a couple of nights ago, and I nearly had I almost had a heart attack, to be quite honest, because I was like, is that how much movies cost now?
It's crazy. And I mean, definitely you can't even afford to do the popcorn and chips and cool drinks for the thing, because that is just absolutely ludicrous. But just the movie cost, well, I guess that's why we do have things like Netflix, which at least save a bit of money, don't they? But, you know, when it comes to gifts, I think it's at this time of year, we've got to be so careful that we don't overspend, we don't overindulge. And, you know, a lot of children, and I'm obviously generalizing here, there are a lot of children which have way more than they really need. And we need to remember it's a time to be giving as well. So, you know, do the Santa shoeboxes and all those things if you can afford it. And I mean, there are many people who do that, which is really fantastic. But when it comes to actually buying gifts for children, there again, maybe consider buying a joint gift for the family children, you know, maybe you've got two or three kids in the family, buy something like a, whatever, you know, a swing ball game, or whether you're buying or a slippery slide or something like that, something that they can actually have fun with. I think that always goes down particularly well. I know grandparents often say to me, we just don't know what to buy our grandkids. They've got everything and we can't afford to buy them computers and all that sort of thing. So what can they give? And I know one of the nice gifts that I've seen being given is something like a wild card, because it allows the family to get in, you know, to the national parks and all that with no charge. And that certainly is a good experiential. People are often saying to me, what should we be giving the grandparents? Because, of course, grandparents have often also got everything they need. They've scaled down into a smaller home. And things like calendars, photos of the grandchildren. Lovely, lovely idea to be given. And that, I find that certainly helps.
Very true. And I guess that is the thing, is to try to stick to some form of a budget. And I just actually literally spoke about that. Kirsty, in those couple of seconds that we lost you, I mean, you know, month in, month out, at home, for example, even though we don't draw up a shopping list or a traditional shopping list anymore, There's still a budget that's drawn up, and that budget is obviously an indication of what our groceries would be, what you pay towards this, that, and the other thing, but you know, and so on and so forth. But I think that the one thing that always stands out for me about this time of the year is how one then, you know, divert from that. So would it be a good idea to sort of draw up a budget and stick to it for the December holidays, and more specifically also then take into account some of that additional extra interesting weird spending that you would be doing at this time of the year?
Of course. Absolutely. And your budget is fundamental when it comes to financial planning to ensure that you actually stick to it so that you don't go overboard. And you know, your normal monthly expenditure is going to be more in the December, January time. We know that. That's just the way it goes. So ensure that your budget allows for that, and that you take a little bit off every month of your normal budget and add it for your December budget. Mm. Actually keep a kitty there, and you'll definitely find that you have a more successful festive season because of that, and you don't feel the pain of overdoing it. Yeah.
For sure. Let's talk about the Christmas lunch or the traditional Christmas meal, right? And I guess in South Africa, it's a bit of an anomaly. We don't necessarily have a set menu, considering the tastes are different and, you know, different strokes for different folks, as I would say. So some people want the turkey, the gammon, and the whatever else, and some people want to put something on the braai. But the point is, it's usually a time period of eating stuff that you don't normally eat, and eating quite a lot of it, which means that that's also heavy on the pocket. And I guess it could be argued that it's still not such a bad idea because you have leftovers for days and days after that.
Well, of course, the one thing I love about leftovers is I believe that every mother should have Boxing Day off. And it's the day that the family is allowed to go to the fridge and look for the leftovers and do it themselves. That's my belief in my family. So I definitely think that's a good one. But I think the whole point here, it comes back to that whole budget thing. Have you allocated, what have you allocated for example, for Christmas Day in the way of cost? Decide in advance how much you're going to spend and make sure you don't go over that. And you know what? Whatever you do, just don't go mad with the food, because a lot of people, I think, do go mad with it. But so most people tend to have their family around, and maybe it's at one person's home, and the family comes around. And gone are the days that the host has to do everything.
Mm.
We just don't do that any longer. Thank heavens for that, I may say. And I think what's important here is to remember that it's absolutely fine to divide it out. So one part of the family brings the starters, another brings the main, another brings the dessert, for example. But as the host or hostess, don't forget about those little things that actually add up. The Christmas crackers, they can be expensive. The nuts and the sweets and the serviettes, all those sorts of things actually add up in cost. So make sure that you've sort of distributed that as well amongst the people who are going to be coming. And then I also firmly believe when it comes to the actual preparation of the food, I think that if you ask somebody to bring the starter, as an example, they must decide on what it is, they must buy it, and they must make it, and they must wash the dishes for it. In other words, don't leave it all for the host or hostess, because that is such a, you know, that's just kind of not fair. It must kind of be done by all members of the family. And you know what? I also think we must involve our children, because it teaches them about responsibility. So what I've done quite often in my family is with the teenagers, I said, right, the teenagers are doing the dessert. And even if it's something as simple as ice cream and Smarties and jelly tots and chocolate sauce, for example, if it's as simple as that, the point is to ensure that they have the money to go to the shops, they need to buy the items, they need to get them home before the ice cream melts. You're teaching them responsibility as you do this. So what they are seeing is what is the cost of this food. They're getting, give them a certain amount that they must budget so they can actually work out how to buy the food. And I think dessert's a good thing. But the point is that you're teaching them responsibility. And I love the fact that there's an opportunity to teach our children responsibility. Oh, and then also, when it comes to drinks, drinks also add up in price. So I always say to everybody, bring your own drinks. Bring bring whatever you would like to drink. And I find that that reduces the cost substantially for the hostess or host. So there we are.
No, I mean, that's awesome. And I think there's also that sense of pride that comes through where you're sitting down as a teenager, you know, generally dependent on mum and dad to provide, so to speak. And whether it's, as you said, your ice cream was topped with Smarties, is that you've contributed to this meal. And I do completely and utterly agree with you that gone are the days where it was up to the host to ensure that everyone's happy and well fed. I mean, there's nothing wrong, especially generally it's family time. So there's nothing wrong with saying to, you know, the grandparents that, listen, guys, you bring ABCD, we'll bring this and that, and we put resources together and we have a lovely meal, as opposed to, you know, sort of leaving it to just one person. And let's make sure that we also do not over cater to such an extent that there's just wastage. You know, that if there are leftovers, we can still divvy it up and each one goes their own way, as opposed to, you know, having a situation whereby food literally gets thrown away. But the other thing that stands out for me is also, and I'm thinking about this because we're going away on the 31st, right? So we're going down to the coast. Mm-hmm. But it's also, it's a very interesting period because I think there's a lot of stuff that you take into account. You know how much you're going to spend per night for accommodation. I think very few people would get that wrong. Travel costs are taken into account. So whether it be toll, you know, tolls that you have to pay or fuel that you have to fill up with and all of those things. Those are generally the costs that you have a handle on. But I think the what people lose sight of is waking up in the morning and not feeling like making a breakfast this morning. So now we're going to order out some food or we're going to go to a restaurant and sit down and eat there. Alternatively, you know, the little snacks. So we didn't think about lunch. So we didn't pack sandwiches. So we'll just order a pizza or whatever else. Those are the types of stuff that also accumulate cost very quickly. And then also whilst on holiday, I don't know, you now suddenly want to shop shop until you drop, basically. Those are some of the things that can have a serious impact on your budget at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And you know, that's when we're talking about things like, where do you stay when you're on holiday? Mm. And for me, I mean, I'm a mom. I know what it's like to have children. And I personally think it's best to go into a self-catering place. And the reason for that is because when you're in a hotel, it just becomes so expensive. Unless it's a hotel where everything's, you know, included. That's obviously doesn't matter. But if you can have a self-catering system where at least you say to your family, okay, well, we're going to have one meal out a day, as an example, okay? And then once you've done that one meal out of the day, you can't go out again. So you're either doing breakfast or you're doing lunch or you're doing supper. And it saves a hang of a lot of money if you can go down the road to the local grocery store to actually buy some food and actually put it together. And maybe it also means you maybe don't eat as much because you only perhaps cook, you know, make two meals during the day and, something like that. So I think there are ways to save, and I do think self-catering accommodation helps a hang of a lot as far as the cost goes.
And you know what's the other thing about self-catering accommodation is that you can start your own braai, you can sit there and take your time and enjoy yourself, and it's part of the holiday experience as opposed to sort of knowing that, oh, goodness me, the dining area is going to close at such and such a time, and if I don't make it on time, all the chicken will be gone or whatever is going to be gone because of the buffet setup.
My language. that's what I like. I definitely prefer that sort of, I think it's more cost effective for us since I feel a bit better about that. But also it's actually a much more relaxed environment. And especially when your children are young, you know, it's actually quite stressful taking young children to restaurants. I think for most parents.
You're telling me. You're telling me.
Yeah.
Where you have to constantly sit down.
Exactly. I think what's so important about this time of the year is the time you make your special memories. It's a time when you're going to spend time with each other. Use the time on, use your money on perhaps experiential ideas. You know, go for a walk in the forest. Go for a walk in the beach, obviously, if you're not in Joburg, but if you're Cape Town, Durban, whatever the case is. Go on the beach. It doesn't cost you anything to do that. And it's a way of saving money, but it's a time that you're going to spend with your family. And yeah, it's a time of giving as well. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is a time of giving. And, you know, help your children with how to actually teach them about giving. I know what we've done over the years with my son, especially when he was quite young. He always had lots of toys, which towards the end of the year, we were going to do a nice big cleanup of his bedroom and get rid of toys that he was no longer playing with. And, you know, he had great delight being able to take him to an orphanage that we used to go to and leave him there for those children. And I think that's one way of actually teaching your children about giving. And this is the perfect time of the year that you can actually do this.
For sure. Look, honestly, I think a wealth of information that you shared with us there, Kirsty, and I think very practical, straightforward ideas that a person can apply. I mean, it's not rocket science, as they would say. It's straightforward stuff. It's sticking to a particular budget. It's, you know, sharing resources when it comes to the big lunch. It's being innovative and creative when it comes to gifting. More expensive doesn't necessarily mean better. You know, and even whilst on holiday, like you said, you know, rather just cater for yourself as opposed to going out there and then spending large quantities of money on this. But Kirsty, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much. All the best to you, okay?
That's so good. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.